Cozy TV.
Today's show will be fascinating. Tomorrow's show will be devastating. Devastating, but ultimately helpful. And it is for Johnny and Caitlin Green. But in the next 2 days, especially for Caitlin Green, Johnny's daughter. People have asked me why, first of all, who is this guy? Why are you commenting on his videos? These are, I consider them still, friends of mine. I interviewed them for one of my shows at this very house. I'll put the link down here. I think the show is called Introducing Johnny and Caitlin Green. You know, I really need to go back and watch it myself to look for clues to see whether or not Johnny and Caitlin actually ever believed the truth. I haven't gone back and watched it. I guess I haven't had the heart. I'm going to link it down here. Maybe you can watch it and see. Do you see any sign that they believe in grace and the power of grace? That they believe there's no more condemnation in Christ Jesus? Do you see any indication in the video where I interviewed them? Maybe I just assumed that it was there, but maybe I wasn't listening objectively while I was interviewing them. Do you see any indication that they believe that once you are chosen beforehand, you cannot lose your salvation and you are not chosen in accord with your acts? Johnny makes now, he's making salvation a matter of your actions, of whether you behave or not, that determines whether or not you were chosen beforehand. I don't know exactly what happened, except I took a stab at it yesterday by saying that definitely they've gone off the translation importance. They've gone into emotional translations. I discovered what translation Caitlin is using. I took blocks of the quotes and I put it in the search engine, and she's quoting from the New Living Translation. Well, I'm going to give you some information about the New Living Translation. But Johnny's not even quoting from anything except his own thoughts. He like, if you saw yesterday's show, it looks like he's quoting from Scripture. But he's trying to convince us that the believers, members of the body of Christ, can still be dangled over the lake of fire. This is absurd. I know I wore this shirt yesterday, but I felt good wearing this shirt. And I'm wearing it again because cutesy time is over. I'm not sure who sent me this. I have a feeling it was Bob Evelyn. Was that you, Bob? If so, thank you. If not, why didn't you send me this shirt? Why? Thank you very much, whoever did send it. I suspect it was Bob, for various reasons. I want to say again that when Johnny and Caitlin Green, father and daughter, were in this house, and I have no reason to believe that anything's different, this was the best father-daughter relationship I'd ever seen in my life. It was so heartening. They were a real team. And now apparently they're holding hands going into the apostasy, going back into law. But this is the thing. Are they going back into law? Or did they never understand grace in the first place? I'm suspecting now that they never understood grace in the first place. And I'm sure that I was not listening correctly when I interviewed them. It's possible that they're not apostatizing, that they were always basing salvation on behavior. Not partial to Paul at all, but rather partial to the circumcision writings, which present salvation as a cooperative salvation where you have to do your part. And if you don't repent and be baptized, and by the way, Johnny, you've got to start pushing baptism. If you're going to be an Old Testament prophet, or if you're going to be a John the Baptist type, and you look to me like a John the Baptist type, as you're preaching repentance, when does the baptism come in? Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what you're about. You better be bringing in baptism soon. It would help if you take people to the Jordan River. Start baptizing. That's what you're about. You're a John the Baptist type, and that's giving you the benefit of the doubt. Otherwise, the alternative is you're a deceiver. You're deceiving people, but not wittingly. I know that. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to deceive a bunch of people today. I know that. I'm going to read some of Caitlin's comments on my videos from last week. I started doing that yesterday. I'm going to do it again because it is so instructive as to what happens when people throw away a good translation of Scripture. Let's go to her version, that is the New Living Translation version of Romans 6:15. Romans 6:15, and now we know the New Living Translation, which is a revision of the New Living Bible, which is one of the most loosey-goosey, feel-good, emotional, non-literal translations you can get. Here's Paul in Romans 6:15, according to the NLT. Well then, since God has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Let me read it again. Since God has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. No, actually, it means the very thing. And, ooh, Caitlin takes me to task hard on that later. I'm going to get to that. But let us read now Romans 6:15 from the Concordant Literal New Testament. What then? Should we be sinning, seeing that we are not under law but under grace? May it not be coming to that. It's a big difference between should and can. Actually, yes. And I'm not afraid to teach this because it is the truth. And you'll never hear either of these individuals, Johnny or Caitlin, quote Romans 5:20, where sin increases, grace super exceeds. That is, grace is more powerful than sin. This is a principle that I did not invent. This belongs only to the gospel of the grace of God, only to Paul's gospel. You will not find this truth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and certainly not in Hebrews. This truth is exclusive to the body of Christ. And it is so unusual for human beings to think this way. There's another name for it. It's called justification, being declared righteous by God. I want to be sure you appreciate the difference. Paul did not say, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. No, it means that, yes, we can go on sinning. Should we? No. Oh, should. That's what Paul says in a literal translation. In other words, this is what Paul actually said. What then? Should we be sinning, seeing that we are not under law but under grace? May it not be coming to that. No, we shouldn't. And I've never said we should. I've never told anybody, you should keep sinning. Because you're under grace and not law, you should keep sinning. Paul writes in another place that good comes from all evil. God created evil. Isaiah 45 verse 7, evil is morally neutral. It simply means to break. God breaks things all the time that he might fix them and show his power. We see that early on in the book of Genesis, created by the Elohim were the heavens and the earth, yet the earth became a chaos and vacant. God did that on purpose. And then the Spirit of God vibrates upon the waters. So God creates, he wrecks, and he remakes. And this is the pattern of God throughout the Scripture. Good always comes from it. That Paul says, anybody who teaches this will get this objection. Oh, so that we should do evil so that more good can come. And people actually accuse Paul of teaching that. Just as Caitlin is accusing me of teaching that we should go on and sin because grace will increase. The principle is true. You have to understand that. Until you understand that, and these people don't, you will not come to grips with the beautiful truth of the gospel of justification by faith. Justification being declared righteous, even as we're sinning. I've never encouraged anyone to sin. I've never encouraged anyone to break the law. But I will not deny the principle, like these two have done, if they ever even knew the principle, that where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Romans 5:20. That's now. That's a truth for us now who are justified in the sight of God by the faith of Christ Jesus and our belief in his belief, which itself is a gift of God. So Caitlin Green is using the New Living Translation. Let me tell you a little something about the New Living Translation. It is gender neutral. In other words, the New Living Bible is politically correct. It is woke. In line with the recent trend in Bible and book publishing, the NLT carefully avoids the use of male-oriented language. In Bible translations, this involves a suppression of the male-oriented language in the original. In the original, we don't want what the original says, do we? The original seems to be a little sexist by using male-oriented language by means of various circumlocutions and paraphrases. That is, the New Living Translation changes all that to make it more acceptable to a woke audience, to a politically correct audience, because we don't want anyone to think that the Bible Society, that the environment, the social environment in which the scriptures were written was male-oriented. We don't want anybody to think that, even though it was. So they changed it. How about this? Heart language. By the way, I'm at BibleResearcher.com. Bible-researcher.com. This is a critique of the New Living Translation, which Caitlin uses and says, basically, it doesn't matter what translation we use. Find something that's easy. Looking up words became too difficult for Caitlin. She gave it up, and she wanted an easy translation that was flowery and gender neutral, and also put into a heart language. I'm quoting now from this website. In recent years, many people associated with the Wycliffe Bible translators and the American Bible Society have been talking about the need to translate the Bible into the heart language of all peoples. Hyatt Moore, the former U.S. director of the Wycliffe organization, evidently regards the NLT as an example of this, because he has endorsed the NLT with the words, "I'm grateful for a modern translation of scriptures like the New Living Translation. This is the word of life, so it has been given in the language of the people, their heart language." What the hell is heart language? I want to spit that phrase out of my mouth. What is it? It's a Bible that caters to the emotions. Accuracy be damned. Accuracy is not the most important thing, because we're willing at NLT, we are willing to get rid of accuracy for the sake of gender-neutral language. We don't want to offend women. So we're going to change the way the Bible was originally written. And wherever the Bible seems harsh, we're going to sprinkle rose petals upon it. We're going to spray some Chanel No. 5 on it. And we're going to put a garland of daisies around it. And it's going to be completely satisfying. I mean, really satisfying, because look at the picture of this woman embracing her copy of the New Living Translation, which Caitlin is using to teach us the truth. Here it is. This is the actual graphic that appears on this website that is critiquing the NLT, thank God. Look at this woman. Ah, she is emotionally satisfied. She's happy. She's thrilled. Her hearing is being tickled so much that she's almost laughing in glee. This is her Bible. Enough of that male-oriented language. Enough of these harsh words of Christ or of Paul calling the circumcision the maimcision. That will never do. I'm sure in this version, I don't know this for a fact, but instead of Paul calling the circumcision, the maimcision, and dogs, he probably calls them cute little puppies and people who are simply mistaken, who probably had bad childhoods. What a sick version. And Caitlin is standing up on the comments as one who is teaching us. Caitlin. Why? Because it was too hard. Okay, you already answered that question. I'm sorry, because it was too hard. It was too hard. Let me read to you Caitlin's comments about translations specifically. There were so many big words, Caitlin writes. I shared this with you yesterday that I didn't know. I didn't know these words, so I started looking them up online. And frankly, I got tired of having to do that. There's the fatal blow. So I would go to another version, and now we know what it is, the New Living Translation. And it said the same thing as a concordant. It did not, and I proved that yesterday. No way. I'm going to prove it big time in about 2 minutes. That's going to be devastating to Caitlin's argument that versions don't matter. They say the same things, but the concordant uses words you have to dissect. I really advise everyone to go read the scriptures for yourselves. This false teaching, that is my false teaching of grace being greater than sin, is not a new one. It's been around a long time. Don't just depend on one person's translation of scripture, like the KJV only, or concordant only, or a false teacher. That's me. Depending on only one version, no matter the version, or one person's understanding, is not smart. Go read in multiple versions. Why would you do that? Depending on only one version, no matter the version, but what if you find the most accurate version in existence in print, and you know it is because you've researched the methods used in that translation, such as the Concordant Literal New Testament. Once you found that, then why wouldn't you depend on that version and that version alone? What would obligate you in any world to feel you have to dabble in crappy, emotional, politically correct, woke translations? What? Why? Why would you do that? It's like finding a trusted childcare person for your child. The best person, the best recommendation. You've had them in your house. You trust them implicitly. Everything is going well. Your kid loves them. But then you give them a week off and tell them that you're going to try different childcare employees. You're going to look around. You're going to shop around. And you're going to go from different agencies. Agencies that are approved, agencies that are not so approved. You're going to go uptown, you're going to go downtown, and you're just going to try a little bit of everything. Of course not. When you find the best, you stick with the best. What is it? This is your advice. You're teaching us that no matter what version we find or what version we like, we should not depend only on one version. Why? Why not? Because it's not politically correct to extol one version over other versions or one person's understanding. But what if one person's understanding is superior clearly to other people's understanding? What if other people can't interpret their way out of a wet paper towel, and yet someone is found that is always bringing the scriptures, always bringing it from a good translation, always showing the Greek, is logical, makes sense for a living, let's say. Why would you not depend on that person? What sane person would tell you, I know you found this person qualified, and I know this person has stuck with the truth for years and years and years, but you know, you owe it to yourself to go out and listen to every other teacher out there. No, you don't. This is absurd. Don't just depend on one person's translation of scripture or concordant only. Quit following teachers like this. Go. Two pieces of advice from Caitlin Green. Go read in multiple versions. That's her advice. That's far from my advice to you. Only until you find the right version. This is only good advice when you're seeking for a translation that was done up with a method. And then once you've found it, murder the other versions. You heard me. Once you found the version of scripture that is sound, murder the alternatives. Otherwise, you'll end up like Johnny and Caitlin and be blown about by every wind of teaching. Quit following teachers like this. God hates sin. Why would they quit following a teacher or listening to a teacher who has proven himself to be sound in the faith and sound in the teaching over a period of 3 decades? Why? I refer back to the child care example. You have a daughter, Caitlin. Think about it. Since Caitlin is apparently relying on the New Living Translation, and I find she's only quoting from the New Living Translation, let's see what the New Living Translation has to say in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. Caitlin and Johnny, I think, still believe that God is the Savior of all humanity. Yet this is the version she's quoting in all of her comments on my channel. This is how the New Living Translation translates 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. God will punish those who do not know God. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That was verse 8. Here's verse 9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. This is your version, Caitlin. Do you believe that? This is the version you're trusting. This is the version you're going to. This is one of the versions you're recommending us to go to forsake the version that has been proven accurate. So is this now your teaching? Punished with everlasting destruction. Maybe not so good here. Well, okay, maybe. Johnny and Caitlin will say, well, we can't rely on the New Living Translation here. We need what? Oh, the Concordant Literal New Testament, which says Aeonian extermination. Aeonian extermination? Concordant Literal New Testament 1:9, 2 Thessalonians, Aeonian extermination? Instead of eternal destruction? Maybe the Concordant Literal New Testament is pretty good there. Maybe it's good everywhere. What about Matthew 25:46? Let's look it up. Matthew 25:46 in the New Living Translation, the politically correct gender neutral heart language of the NLT. Oh, this is not good. Matthew 25:45, he will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. Eternal punishment. Do you now believe in eternal punishment? This is a version you're foisting on us with these flowery words in Romans that do not convey the truth of what God has done against sin, that subtly put that we are enslaved to righteous living instead of righteousness, as I pointed out yesterday. That has Paul asking, can we still sin now because grace rules? No, we can't. Whereas what Paul did say was, should we go on sinning? Same version here, now teaching everlasting punishment, eternal torment. Concordant has Aeonian chastisement for Matthew 25:46. Maybe a literal translation isn't so bad. Let me whet your appetite for tomorrow. I'm not going to let this go, which is why I'm wearing this shirt. And Caitlin, tomorrow, I don't know if you're watching this show. You got guts. If you are, I admire you for that. Tomorrow will either be devastating, or first it will be devastating, then it will be liberating. And this is not a joke. This is not a game. Caitlin, you are playing with fire. You have no idea. But allow me to enlighten you. I do it because I love you. And you're going to see it. I'm confident you're going to see it when I'm done explaining it. And the whole audience will see it. This is a public discourse. And I'm thankful for it. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm also going to comment on other comments, such as, your teaching is so wrong. You deny the power God has to change a person. This is her accusations of me. You stifle the Holy Spirit. You don't allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. Your teaching is evil and twisted. You think Paul just sinned as much as he wanted? These are accusations made against me. I don't have to defend myself, but I feel that by defending myself, I will be able to then teach positively on the truth concerning these things. I will tell you how wrong Caitlin is. And on the heels of that, I will tell you what is right, and everyone will be profited by it. In the end, it is my heartfelt desire that you, Caitlin, and you, Johnny, will also profit from it. Ever since you came to my house, I have loved you, and I continue to do so. And this is tough love. But we're not playing games here. Cutesy time is definitely over. And it will never be so over as the coming indignation. That our Lord will rescue us from if we believe in the gospel of Paul.